From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Unfictional is KCRW's program of stories and documentaries, and today it's one story about a young man who gives up everything he has and reinvents himself.
It's like a kid was born in a one-room basement. He never left that room all his life. And when he was 23 years old, someone took him, put him in Grand Central Station, and walked away.
Today on Unfictional, Breaking Away, the story produced by independent radio producer Joshua Gleason.
The Hasidic community is both sort of a presence and kind of a hidden world that you see but you know nothing about. By nature, this is a world that's hard to penetrate, which is what made it interesting. But I ultimately found my way to this weekly gathering that happens in New York that draws people, both people from within the Hasidic community who are questioning and exploring life outside the Hasidic community, people who have left, and oddly enough, people who are interested in finding out more about Judaism. The idea being that nothing is sort of off limits as far as points of discussion, and nothing is heretical per se. I met Loser there. You know, he was someone who made an immediate impression, and I immediately had a feeling about him that he would be a great candidate for the kind of radio documentary that I wanted to do. And he had just fully left the community just a couple months prior.
That's producer Joshua Gleason. You're listening to Unfictional on KCRW and KCRW.com. This is Breaking Away.
My first name is Loser. Yes, it's Loser. It's not who I am. It's just my name. And it's spelled differently too. It's spelled L-U-Z-E-R, not L-O-S-E-R. It's actually a name from the Bible. This is me singing at a wedding, at a Hasidic wedding. I used to be a singer at weddings. I miss it very much. I wish I could keep doing it, but you can't not be religious and sing at Hasidic weddings, you know? It just doesn't go together. I always questioned the religion, and I always wanted to be able to watch movies. I always wanted to be able to fall in love with someone and have sex with her, even though I'm not married. I wanted to have it and be religious. I didn't know of any other life. That was the only life I knew. But now I decided I don't want that life. I have no future in that life. Maybe there is something out there I want to do, which I can do if I'm an Orthodox Jew. In the Hasidic community, you can't really explore yourself. And that is something I'm not willing to give up on. This is where I live. This is like a student housing. I have my own bedroom, shower room, and a bathroom in the middle of every floor, which all the people who live on the floor share. I got here a little desk and my computer, my laptop. Now, this is the other bed in the room, which is usually made for a roommate, but since I got no roommate, this is the place I dump everything. This is all my dirty shirts right there. I don't have a laundry bag, so I use a garbage bag, a regular garbage bag. Most of the time, I do dress like a very strong Hasidic Jew because that's the only clothes I have. I wear the side curls and like a beard. I mean, because a Hasidic person is who I am. It's my identity. I just can't get used to be looking differently and to be acting differently. Even though I hate the way I look and the way I talk and the way I act. You know, when someone asks me, how are you? I still say, Baruch Hashem. Thank God. I'm not even sure there is a God. I mean, well, thank God. You know, it's like, here's the thing. Even though the Lutwerski that has lived for the past 23 years is a Hasidic guy, that's not who I am. I don't feel that's me. So even though what I'm doing now is the real me, it's just not what I'm used to. In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul. To a woman so heartless. Okay, now let's start looking for work. Craigslist. Alright, so what I do is I search first, like, kosher. Get a job in the kosher industry. Oh! Some new stuff here. 2 months ago, I started looking for work. And someone asked me, do you have a resume? This is exactly what I did, just what I did now. Quiet. I didn't know what to say. Number one, I didn't know what a resume was. And number two, I knew whatever it is, I don't have one. In the Chassidish world, there is no such thing as a resume. Everything is handed over to you. So for me to move to Manhattan and start looking for a job, and I got to write my resume which high school I went to. I never went to high school. What should I write? That I have a degree in narrow-mindedness? I mean, I have a degree in Torah? It doesn't say in the Torah how to use Excel. All right, let's go to gigs. I go here and I look for Jewish. There you go. Call for singers, actors, native Hebrew speakers. I'm seriously pursuing acting because I think I can act. I've been acting for 23 years of my life. I was pretending to be someone I'm not. But I also have something that most people don't have when they started acting. I do have a look for which there's a pretty high demand out there. A new opera is seeking performance for an in-progress presentation. There's pay in this? No pay. I feel overwhelmed by the choices I have in life now because I had very little choices before. It's like a kid who was born in a one-room basement. He never left that room all his life. And when he was 23 years old, someone took him, put him in Grand Central Station, and walked away. Everybody seems to have a destination. At least it seems like they know where they're going. And he has no idea. He sees people taking the train, people taking the subway, and he doesn't know the difference between a train and a subway. You know, people go to college, people are working, and people are watching movies, people are going out to the dinners, they're having dates, and you have no idea where to start. Sometimes I feel when I'm in the subway that I want to stop every single person and have a conversation with them. I want to go over to them. Hey, I say, hi, I'm Loser. Who are you? Oh, Joe, what do you do? I work on Wall Street. What is it like? Where did you go to college? Where did you grow up? I want to know all walks of life because I might like one of them. I mostly hang out with people who are ex-Hasidic, which is another thing which keeps me from fully getting into the other life, because that keeps me connected, kind of. It's a good thing because you need a support group, you need friends and everything. Me, you never know. Do you really know God? You know, you don't know God. Maybe he's gay.
He's a little bit of everything, so we would have to be able to...
He's a little bit of everything.
What's that?
It's, you know, he's a little bit of a she too. She's a little bit of a he. I spoke last time to my parents, like, the day after I got divorced. That day they found out why I got divorced, which is because I wasn't observant anymore. When they found out that this was the reason, they couldn't talk to me anymore. They don't care if I starve, they don't care if I'm homeless. They said it openly. Not to me. It came back to me. They tell my brothers not to talk to me, to excommunicate me. I can corrupt their minds. To them, it's like someone who is throwing away eternity over materialistic things that only exist in this world. But he isn't worth it. He's not worth nothing. To them, I'm worthless. I put an ex on Craigslist. I posted ex-Hasidic Jew looking for love. I'm not going to say exactly what it says there. It's a little embarrassing. So I got this response from this girl I'm texting now, We're texting like till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and she asked me if I have any plans today. Anyway, we decided we're gonna meet at Starbucks for coffee. So I just got a text message. All right, let's see what she writes. I'm around looking for parking. Yay. Can't wait. I've never been on a date before. This is my first real date. I've been married, but I've never been on a regular, just a date, just two people meet each other, see if they like each other. This is my first date. I'm going to be on a date. I don't know. I think this shirt got some kind of a smell. I don't know. Just, this is brand, it's a fresh shirt. Just took it off the cleaners. Maybe the cleaners put some smell in it. It's a good exercise for me to practice being around girls. I used to shiver when I had to approach a girl or shake a girl's hand. I was shivering. Because we grew up separated, men and women. We go to separate schools. I didn't know any girls besides my sisters. And you're not supposed to touch any other woman besides your wife. And you don't really talk in a friendly way to other women besides your wife or your immediate family. I had this thing that if I touch a woman, God is going to strike me dead. I got a text message. Oh, wait, got a response. We got a response. Sweet. She says, sweet. She likes me. All right. I'm going on a date. All right, now I'm nervous. I have an uncle who left about the same age as me, actually. You know, he was considered like the dropout of the family. We never talked about him even. It was like, why would you want to talk about a guy like that? He lived in Israel. And then he came to America and he was staying by us. I have no explanation why they let him into my house and why they let him stay there. They probably were trying to make him come back, you know? And I kind of liked him. I thought he was a nice guy. I'm going to share something very awkward. It's going to show you how early I started questioning and how I didn't like. I was probably 10 years old or 11 years old. I was really young. I went into his room when he was gone. I remember looking at these deodorants and creams and, like, you know, all these stuff I never seen. And there were his jeans on the floor next to the closet. Jeans is like the clothing of the secular world. So, yeah, so I like closed the door behind me and I put on his jeans. Put on his jeans in his room. Never forget it. And I looked down on myself. I still sometimes look down on myself. You know, that I'm this cheap person. I have these kind of thoughts. I have these kind of feelings. I have a dirty mind. I think you can compare it in a way to people discovering that they're gay. And, you know, and having to deal with the guilt and with the shame.
Breaking Away, the story of Loser Twersky, continues in a moment. I'm Bob Carlson, and you're listening to Unfictional on KCRW and KCRW.com. This is Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and today on the program, we're listening to the story of Loser Twersky, a man who at the age of 23 left the only life he'd ever known in the Hasidic community of New York, and he attempted to reinvent himself in the non-religious world. The story, Breaking Away, continues now on KCRW and KCRW.com. It's Unfictional.
Question number one, which one of the following sentences includes a possessive pronoun? A, she stood up for people.
Today I'm taking a test for high school.
I get a booklet in the mail, and every booklet, at the end, it has an exam. And you can submit the exam online. Another name for the predicate in a sentence is I want to just expand my knowledge, you know, for the purpose of blending into the world. C, object, D, verb. This is a question which I am not sure about the answer.
I'm not sure whether it's a noun or a verb. So what do I do? Let's try this. A or D. I'm going to put two pieces of paper. One piece of paper is A. I write A. Other piece of paper, I write D. And then I mix them up. I'm not looking. And I pick out one, whichever comes out. All right, here you go. A. So I'm going to take A. When I was Hasidic, I had a lot of these experiences, you know, looking at non-Jewish people or secular people. Man, they're having such a good life. They can do anything they want. And now, I know that they can't do anything they want. This is a painful realization. This is something I'm dealing with right now. See, one of the things is, when I was Hasidic, I never put any effort in my body. You know, I had no reason to take a shower. Why should I take a shower? You know, I never thought I'd, you know, I have to, maybe I'll meet a girl, I have to go on a date and I'm going to stink. You know, that never would have happened, you know. And then there's the opening door thing, saying thank you, you know. People don't say thank you. You know, we all know each other. We're all like family, you know. There's politically correct, which doesn't exist in the Chassidish world. There is no political correctness. You just say whatever you got in your stomach. You just spit it out. And that's basically a freedom that communities have. That brothers have. You know, family has. You know, when you're with your family, you just throw everything out there. You're not trying to come forward with something you're not. In other words, the secular culture has a lot of rituals too. A lot of rituals in it, if you think about it.
I think she's on the fourth floor, I don't remember.
Yeah. I am at Stephanie's place. I'm going up now. I'm going to meet with Stephanie. We're going to hang out a little bit, have something to eat, and probably watch a movie. Stephanie is my friend. I don't think we're boyfriend-girlfriend yet. It's just we're very close. She's a great woman. She's very smart and very beautiful. She doesn't like when I wear polos, so I don't know if she's going to like if I wear a t-shirt and sweatpants.
How's it going?
How do I look with sweatpants and a t-shirt?
Sloppy.
Sloppy?
I mean,
it's... But it's better than a polo, right?
Yes. Right. Much better than a polo.
Gotta get more t-shirts.
We met through the internet. Did you go to, like, athletic camp? And, you know, we went out a couple of times, you know, and it evolved, you know, it became stronger and stronger, the bond. And this is the way it's now, it's pretty strong.
I did use another pair of clothes, so I
think it's... stronger than I wanted it to be.
And watch how I do this.
Maybe I won't.
But you will.
How do you know?
Because you're going to help me or you don't get to eat at me.
Okay.
So you're going to cut down the bottom. The bottom is like the root part. We don't want to eat. All right. That. So, and then...
She mentioned in her probably your first or second email that she was a radical feminist. And I didn't even know exactly what a radical is. I thought radical and terrorist are the same thing. But she seemed like someone who hates men, who thinks men are rapists, men are bad people, and I didn't like that. I mean, I'm not like that. I'm not a rapist.
Being treated as a man. Yeah, being treated as a man. I do think that is what makes you like. Because what you're saying is basically.
That's the one thing that bothers me about Stephanie. She's way, way over involved. It's a religion. I can't live with religion.
You know, when people see him, they don't. Treat him the same as they treat me.
I don't know, man. Male
and
female.
Can I finish? Please let me finish my thought.
All right, I'm done with this. I'm done.
Done with what?
I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. So it's like, it's okay, the whole thing is foreign to me. I really, I mean, you've been busy with this subject for I don't know how many years, and like I'm so new to the subject, and you're trying to like punch it into my head.
So mad at
I don't know. I'm getting. I'm just whatever. I'm worked up. Forget it. My contract for the apartment is running out in like 3 weeks. I mean, I'm not gonna have where to live in a couple of weeks from now. And you know, I'm running out of cash. seems like I have been pretty good for a few months, and now I'm hitting a dead end because I don't have where to live. I don't know what I'm going to do. This past life is haunting me. This past, the past. You know, thinking God will punish you and how wrong you are. Maybe life is so difficult for you because, you know, you're not observant and you're not doing God's will. I mean, I got a family in there. Something that f***s me up a lot. Thinking about my family. It keeps awakening these feelings, you know. Sometimes nostalgic feelings. You know, there's family life and there's the get-togethers and there's, you know, the warmth. The only problem is all this warmth and this family values, all these things are just based on bullshit. You know, I wish it wasn't, but it is. You know, and I wish I could just let that all go, forget about it, but it just doesn't work that way. See, all this kind of stuff, they go into the box, just in the junk box. Like, you know, like soap, my lens solution. Just packing my stuff and I'm moving out and I don't know where I'm going yet. I'm going to crash at some friends' places for a while. That's about it. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, this goes in here. I need one box for books and one box for clothes and I'm ready to go. You know, the Hasidic people don't live with roommates, and there is no single life. There is no such thing as living single. You're either living with your parents or you're married. You don't live single. There's no such thing. You're never on your own. I am really all by myself. I mean, who really cares for me? Where's the person who will say, you know, you're always welcome at my house to sleep, to eat. You know, I'm always going to be here for you. I think this is my biggest challenge. I mean, the belief challenge and looks and adjusting to the secular world, these are nothing against this challenge of me becoming independent. Well, this is four stories up, and it's like, used to be a whatever, like a factory probably or something like that. This is the place where I stay. So it's got like two parts, the loft. Like a wall in the middle. On one side he built like beds, like bunk beds. And on the other side there's like a big empty room. And I have a tent here. The guy who lives here, he told me I could come and stay here for a couple of months. Maybe 6 months, you know, 7 months, 8 months. Until I get myself together and find a way to support myself and be able to pay rent. So this is my tent. I got a sleeping bag. He gave me like a little rug, like a very thick rug to put under the tent, so it's a little more cushioned. I sit in there. I use my computer. I watch movies in there. I mean, I use my tent a lot. That's where I live. It's very kind of cozy, you know. It's like very, it's really, I like it. I pulled the plug on my life and everything I knew. It's kind of the end of a chapter. A chapter from which I have a lot of good memories. I have more bad memories, but a lot of good memories. And this new chapter has a lot of sad memories in it. But everything I've been through since I left, all these misery I'm going through now, all these hardships, they seem kind of purposeful. It's like I'm going through all this, you know, to get somewhere. It's suffering I chose. It's something that I want. Choice makes all the difference. That's it.
All you good die young, and all you sinners are stoned. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Take your leap of faith. Takes a leap of faith. One way or another, God, take a leap of faith.
Breaking Away was originally broadcast by Vox Tablet, the podcast of Tablet Magazine, at tabletmag.org. It was produced by the New York-based independent producer Joshua Gleason,
who told me about following Loser Twersky through the first year of becoming part of the non-religious world.
I mean, he's someone who I've seen experience incredible lows. I mean, just down at the bottom. But he's someone who I think fundamentally has a good sense of humor. He's able to see the bigger picture and to not take himself too seriously. He has fundamentally a playful attitude, you know, and a kind of love of life. It's an interesting mix of naivete and also kind of a real emotional worldliness, too. He's experienced or is experiencing a lot more than perhaps your typical American 23-year-old.
I also asked about what Loser is doing today.
He's working at this place called B&H, which is a photo, video, audio store. And it's famously staffed by Orthodox Jews. So he has a friend who ended up getting him a job there. And they all know that he's not religious, and he doesn't keep quiet about it. But I guess you don't have to be religious to work there. So he has a job and a girlfriend, although not the one who's in the piece. He's in a serious relationship that's going to be going on for about a year or more. And he has an apartment. So I think he's doing well. He's been in communication with a production company about trying to develop some sort of TV show about ex-Hasidic Jews in New York. I think they originally wanted to do a reality show, but he didn't want to do that. So he's trying to work with them to do something, you know, a scripted drama or something like that.
When the story first ran at the web magazine Tablet, there were some comments that supported Loser, but plenty of people were really critical.
I mean, I think anybody who leaves that world and is vocal about it is going to get that kind of response. You know, this is just something that they perceive as so offensive and so, you know, deeply heretical. It makes it difficult for people who think that life is the one true path and they're living God's will for someone who abandons that. It just makes it difficult for most ultra-Orthodox Jews to think of them as a good person in any way. And to take the extra step of being vocal about it, of criticizing, you know, the religion in public, he really draws a backlash. He's not unaccustomed to that in his daily life. He runs into that when he runs into people he knows from that world or people who hear of him. So it wasn't unexpected, that kind of response.
That's producer Joshua Gleason. This has been Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson. This program is produced by me, along with Jacob Conrad and assistance from Rebecca Golden. The music supervisor is Dan Wilcox. Thanks to the Annenberg Foundation for their generous support of the Independent Producer Project and Unfictional. You can stream this program and find links to past episodes, pictures, and information at our website, kcrw.com/unfictional. Plus, you can leave a comment about today's episode and become a fan of the show on Facebook. If you do like the show, please tell your friends about it. We're on most Tuesdays at 2:30 p.m., repeated Fridays at 7:30 p.m. If you want to catch up on earlier episodes of the show, you can always podcast it at the website or at iTunes. And I hope you'll join me next time for Unfictional on KCRW and KCRW.com.